You are listening to Dateline Washington on the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. My next guest in this edition is Michigan Republican Congressman Thaddeus McCotter. He's a member of the House leadership, and he joins me now to explain why the entire House Republican Conference voted against today's stimulus plan, just as it did on the first go-around, and what the Republican Conference will be focusing on after this package becomes law. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
It was clear in the first vote on the House version of the stimulus package that House Republicans believe this was clearly the wrong way to go. Again, the vote today, unanimous. A couple of members unable to be present for the vote. But in the end, why were the changes not enough to sway the Republican conference?
Well, when you look at it, again, the Congressional Budget Office, the nonpartisan branch that looks at these bills and makes projections, has said that the stimulus approach that has been pursued by this Congress will do more harm than good. And so having nothing change substantially between the two and seeing a $1 trillion mistake that's going to harm working families and our recessed economy is something that you cannot vote for. There is a better way to do things. Now, Republicans are not saying that our way entirely is the best way. We were asked for ideas by President Obama. We put them forward, and by his own Council of Economic Advisors, we were told that our bill created twice the jobs at half the cost. We are simply in a position where our ideas were not welcomed by the House Democrats, the Senate Democrats, and you're going to unfortunately see that a bill that should have been better and done more for Americans will actually do more harm in the long run, and we could not support that.
Congressional Republicans have pointed the blame, especially in terms of the process, but also the substance, at Democratic congressional leaders. But in terms of the president, he has said a couple of things which I know have ruffled some feathers up on Capitol Hill. Number one, he said that a lot of you didn't want to do anything. And number two, he said he's willing to hear new ideas, but he's not going to embrace anything that was talked about by the previous administration, essentially, meaning he wasn't going to go with sweeping tax cuts. So just how much of an olive branch was he really extending?
Well, I don't view it that way. What I view it as is the point, especially your last point that you made. If the Democrats believe that allowing people to keep their hard-earned money was a mistake that put us into a recessed economy, I need to know, and you need to know, and every one of your listeners needs to know just how much of our hard-earned money they're going to take out of our pockets to try to fix it. This is the argument that they don't get into. If they don't like people keeping their hard-earned money, they're certainly not out there telling you how much of it they're going to take away from you in the future. That is part of the problem that we see. Again, you know, and the president knows, that when we were asked for an idea on how to help make things better, we proposed a bill that, by his own people's admission, was twice the jobs at half the cost of what the Democrats are trying to pass. So he knows we tried to be constructive. He knows we wanted to pass a bill, or he wouldn't have met and honored his request for a proposal.
We're talking with Michigan Congressman Thaddeus McCotter. And Congressman, throughout the week, in addition to talking to a number of your colleagues, we've also been talking to policy experts who point out that obviously this is a massive spending bill, and on the theory of some, that massive spending is a way to trigger economic growth. But they also point out that the way the money is spent is also kind of a stealth way, maybe not even necessarily a stealth way, of affecting significant government change in a number of policies ranging from immigration to welfare to health care policy. What's your assessment on that front?
They exploited people's hopes to pass a pork barrel bill. When you look at it, just look at it this way. You have, in the dead of night as an afterthought, you had Senator Harry Reid put in $8 billion for a high-speed rail line that will benefit Nevada. Okay? He puts that in there. Now, I don't know how this high-speed Sin Express from Las Vegas to Los Angeles is going to help anybody in Michigan find a job if they're out of work. Those are the types of things that were not supposed to be done in a bill that was about creating jobs and being fair to the American taxpayers to stimulate this economy. You saw there's going to be a $30 million appropriation to save a precious mouse somewhere near Speaker Pelosi's district. I don't know how much the $30 million mouse is going to do to help my auto workers stay in their jobs. What they did that was particularly egregious in the minds of people who wanted a transparent process was twofold. One, they put a over 1,000-page bill out last night, which no normal human being, even if they had stayed up all night drinking espresso, could have read before that vote. Then you also had the situation where they didn't put earmarks in the bill. What they did instead was they carpet-porked large spending categories, knowing that the huge sums of money would eventually fill their special need. And these are the things that we find most egregious, because as you know, when Americans saw what was in that bill, they did not want that bill. They wanted a better bill. And so learning from that mistake, unfortunately, the majority decided they would not let anybody have the time to read the bill. And to seal the deal, they decided that we could not ask them to read the bill on the floor of the House. That's how proud they were of their work.
A couple minutes left in our conversation with Congressman Thaddeus McCotter. And Congressman, you mentioned that a lot of the individual provisions in there amount to pork in your estimation and certainly don't help folks in your district, in your state, for example. There are massive spending provisions in this bill for the various states, though. In Michigan, as many folks know, has been hit particularly hard economically, a recession that had lasted a while, not just into the recent economic crisis. Do you believe that your state will benefit much from that state aid?
No. First of all, the overall bill does more harm than good. Now, I have people in my district that have been hard-pressed and are out of work, and I've talked to them. I live with them. And they come to me and they say, there's nothing in this bill that is going to put me back to work. And I have to go home now, and I will look them in the eye, and I will say, you were right, and I voted no. That's my responsibility, is to face them and tell them the truth. I will not tell them that a government stimulus bill that throws money all over, that helps a $30 million mouse or a high-speed Sin Express, was going to help them. I'm not going to have to lie and say that this was the best way to help them. There were better ways to do this, and people demanded and deserved them, and they were not given the chance to have them. So in Michigan, we are auto industry related. This bill, if you look at it, is a post-American manufacturing bill. They took out provisions to incentivize car sales, knocked them down to next to nothing, changed them so they can hardly be used, and instead we wind up with $8 billion for high rail projects in somebody's state. This was, to people in Michigan, not going to help them. And again, if it does more harm than good in the long run in the country, Michigan is always a state, because we're a manufacturing state, that gets sicker quicker and takes longer to get better. And if this bill hurts the American economy, it's going to hurt us even more. And I cannot support that, and I will not.
Last 30 seconds, sir. Where does the House Republican Conference go from here? How will you keep trying to push your agenda forward?
We're going to keep coming up with better ideas, whether they're listened to or not, whether the Democratic majority wants to work with us or not. We will be ready to perform our constitutional and moral duty to put forward better solutions and try to work constructively for hard-pressed, hard-working American people. We will do that.
Congressman, thank you very much for your time today. We appreciate it very much.
Thanks, man.
Michigan Congressman Thaddeus McCotter represents his state's 11th congressional district. This is Dateline Washington.